Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. You guys. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Sunday, January 10th, 2016. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it'll make me feel good about most of the life decisions I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind, and more importantly, what's on your heart, what's inside of it, how it ticks. Not necessarily the inner workings of it, like the technical things of it, but just what's there. What are you thinking about? How are things making you feel, you know? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, Chris Lambert, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. So I'm watching, as I'm recording this, I'm watching the end of the Green Bay Packers Redskins game, and they just, for some reason, have the camera on RG3 dapping up everybody. You probably know this already, but the Redskins are losing to the Green Bay Packers. I'm so happy. I was nervous about this game because I thought the Redskins were going to just beat the Packers, because they weren't, the Packers were kind of, seemed kind of out of it through the latter half of the season. But looks like Aaron Rodgers has returned to be the Aaron Rodgers that we know and that we expect him to be. My dad just sent me a text saying, how you like that? And he just learned how to do emojis. So I tweeted that. And he had two little emojis with the tongue sticking out, like the na-na tongue sticking out thing. So my dad's evolving at 74. He's into his shit, man. He's in the technology. So yeah, I'm happy about that. This is the first playoff game this weekend where actual points have been scored. I mean, obviously people are scoring. Chiefs and the Texans, that was a boring game. The Steelers and the Bengals, that got intense towards the end, and I didn't know about that until I woke up. I woke up later that, actually Sunday morning, and saw the replays of all the fights and everything, and now people on the radio are like, well, looks like Pac-Man Jones has turned into who he's always been. And what is it with people stuttering now? Like, it's just like, to make their point, like sports guys and gals on the radio, they stutter. I don't know if that's a thing that they do to emphasize a point. I don't know who knows, but the divisional, but I'm okay. So I'm glad that the Redskins lost. I've never seen these guys. They didn't play that hard for RG3. So fuck them. Let them lose. I don't care. May the curse of the same curse that the Cowboys have had since they got rid of Quincy Carter. I hope the Redskins have the same. I hope they have an RG3 curse to where they don't have successful seasons anymore until they get a black quarterback that can get them out of their rut, because they have weapons like Jordan Reed. This kid has been balling. They got Deshaun. They got Garcon, who's actually catching passes now, because he wasn't doing shit when RG3 was his quarterback. It's just like they stopped. Did the Redskins treat RG3 like Willie Beeman? And any given Sunday, I should tweet that. I'm going to tweet that at some point. Tweet and Facebook it. and really see what people have to say about it, because I just, that's how I feel. That's how I'm not saying I'm right. I am, but I'm not, you know, well, I am saying I'm right. I'm right about this, you guys. So yeah, I'm glad. 35-18 Packers over the racial slurs. Yeah. And then next week is going to be pretty brutal, because Cam Newton and Russell Wilson square off in the divisional playoffs, and that's going to be tough. Obviously, I'm rooting for Cam Newton, but it'll be sad to see two black quarterbacks going after each other. I wouldn't say it's sad, but it would just, it's just kind of, I can't really lose, but the main guy that I want to win is, you know, just is Cam Newton. And that's where all my hopes are right now. I guess I feel the same way about Cam Newton, like I feel about LeBron James at this point now. I'm really rooting for Cam to do this, because his hometown, not necessarily his hometown in Alabama, but his home pro team, how do you say that? His home newspaper doesn't really seem to believe in him. You know, they had the letters, people pub sending letters. Oh, is Cam Newton, the way he dances, I feel uncomfortable about that. It's unsportsmanlike. And my daughter had to watch him dance as cheerleaders are dancing right in front of her daughter as well. They're publishing these letters, and then they're asking the community if Cam Newton is a good dad because he had a kid out of wedlock. I mean, would that happen has that happened to Tom Brady? Has the Boston Globe said, oh, is Tom Brady a good dad because he left his baby's mother and to date Gisele Bündchen? You know, his baby's mom was 8 months pregnant, and he left her to go fuck a model and get her and marry her and have kids with her. I mean, you know, obviously it's that schism. Obviously it's because he's black, but you just wouldn't expect that to come from the home paper, you know? So I'm just hoping he gets this, man. I'm behind Cam. Obviously if they lose, I'm rooting for Russell Wilson, who it just didn't seem like anybody was trying to score this weekend, except for this last game that actually, and I think I said that before. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. The games just seem really, really boring. So yeah, next week should be fun. So you guys, this is episode 151 of the podcast. And I'm sitting here hanging out with you guys. I don't know how long this thing's going to be. I know I have some things I want to talk about. I want to talk about movies. I want to talk about The Revenant. I want to talk about, tell you a little bit about Daddy's Home. I'll talk about that a little bit. Then I'll talk about sleeping with other people. I'll talk about those three movies. And we just talk some sports. I don't know how long this thing is going to be, to be quite honest with you, because I don't know. Like, well, this week was the first full week back at work, and you know, I kind of dreaded going back to work after just being off. I would say Christmas was fun, that vacation was fun, but I took a couple days off last week for New Year's, and that was just amazing because I didn't have to go anywhere. I didn't go anywhere really at all except Walmart. I just went to Walmart for New Year's Eve vacation and bought a lot of shit, as I told you last weekend. And you ever notice when you go to the grocery store and you spend a good amount of money? You go somewhere and you spend money. Like, Walmart's a grocery store too, but I bought some grocery stuff from there, and then you realize I don't have any food. I don't have any food, so you have to go to the store again. Like, you buy four or five things and it's $50. You know, like, it's just like, oh, I got to go back to the store. And that's a little disheartening in this economy, in Obama's America, where your dollar doesn't stretch as far as it used to. But that's residue from the Bush administration. We all know that. We all know that Barack had to clean all this shit up, and he gets blamed for it. And then he's crying on TV, you know, because of the people killing each other with the guns. And it's just ridiculous. He's ready to leave. I think he's done. I think he's ready. I think he still loves and cares about this country, but I think he's like, man, you know, tried, and we're going to try to get through this. I'm not a politician, so I'm not a political guy. So I'm just expecting right now. The games, they're still doing coverage on the game. man, yeah. So, what did I want to talk? So, yeah, I just don't like spending a bunch of money, and then you know you actually don't have a lot of stuff. But mainly, I will tell you this: I had a mini breakthrough, guys. I can make lasagna now. I can make really good lasagna. I have been wanting to do this for a long time. And I said, you know what? New year, new ways to get fat. I am going to make lasagna. Just because I wanted, because, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted my mom to make. My mom may have made lasagna twice. I know she at least made it when I was in junior high one time. And it was good, but she didn't really believe in herself. And so she didn't really make it anymore. And she said it was too hard. It's not hard. I looked up some recipes on YouTube. That's my thing now. I'm starting to look up stuff on YouTube and look at different dishes that I want to try. And lasagna was at the top of the list. The first time I did it, I made a porterhouse steak, and I think I might have told you guys about that. And I had done it before, but I just hadn't executed making that steak in the way that I thought I should have been doing it. And it's almost to the point where I really don't have to go. Like, I love a good steak place. Like, just as far as the people of the peasantry. As a person of the plebeian class, I like Outback Steakhouse, and I think the Alice Springs chicken is good. But as far as steaks go, the Porterhouse, their Melbourne steak is good, and it's really seasoned well. It's tasty, and I really don't have to go to Outback Steakhouse. I could just make it on my own. One thing that got to me is a comic, Brendan Ayer, who's a Cleveland. He's from the Cleveland area, but he's now a New York guy. He posted this thing on Facebook that said he listed all, like, the top. He said, what did he call it? He was like the top lower tier. If I can find this, it was like a top low tier restaurants. And I think he left Outback Steakhouse out of the top five. I feel like he did. And it was earlier in the week, so I don't know if I can find it. I hope I can find it. But it was pretty interesting. But I liked how he classified it, though. I like how he gave it. Okay, this is what he did. All right, great, because it's right here. This is one of the reasons, and I'll get into this a little later. Okay, this is what he says. Okay. The definitive ranking of lower tier sit down chain restaurants. So this, I'll read it from, he's got 15 of them. I'll read them from 15 to 1. So the bottom to the top. Okay. So at 15, he gives Shoney's 15, Friendly's 14, Applebee's 13, Denny's 12, Perkins 11, Olive Garden's, post 2000s, 10, Bob Evans, 9, IHOP, good, but late, but dangerous, late at night. I remember going to an IHOP. I think I talked about this, last year with one of my buddies. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And, we went to an Outback in Harlem, and it had like a glass, like, fucking like glass, you know, like if you go to a carry out and they have like a glass encasement in front. No, this place had a security guard. The IHOP had a security guard. That's what it was. All right. IHOP, okay, at number 8. Cracker Barrel, number 7. Over, and he puts in parentheses, overrated. And it is. It's not better than IHOP. And Ruby Tuesdays at 6. Olive Garden, pre-2000, before quality took a nosedive. 4, TGI Fridays. 3, Chili's. 2, Outback. Number 1, Cheesecake Factory. So he says Cheesecake Factory is number 1. And I could see that. Because Cheesecake Factory has like a wider variety, and it's essentially an upscale diner, and I think that's why that gets the top spot. I gotta see what I said. Like people said Waffle House. I think Waffle House could be better than. I haven't been to Shoney's in a long time, so I couldn't really tell you how good Shoney's is, and I don't even remember going to Shoney's, and I don't even know. That I like Shoney's. I wouldn't be a good judge of Shoney's, even from childhood. And tons. He got a shit ton of people that responded, and I forgot what I wrote. But I think that because I want to see what I said here. I don't remember. Maybe I can get Brendan on the show and talk to him about it. This is very compelling podcasting with me. See, I didn't know I was going to talk about this. I would have normally I would have had this queued up, but he got like a shitload of people on this thing. I know I wrote something. I know I wrote something on here. This is too. Hold on a second, guys. Okay, I found mine. I said IHOP should be top 5. On the big steak omelet alone. Outback Steakhouse would be my number 1. Fuddruckers is also a glaring omission. I got 3 people to like. Brendan liked that. Kenny DeForest and another comic like that too. Yeah, I thought that was, it's a good list. Every time you make a list, somebody's gonna have a problem with it. But yeah, like definitely IHOP, I would think that IHOP should be higher. Just because of the big steak omelet. I mean, I really only go to IHOP for that. Like when I'm going to IHOP, I'm like, oh, I guess I got a taste for a big steak omelet. So that's what I'm going for. Haven't had one since, oh God, I want to say the last time I was on the road. One of the last times I was on the road. Yeah. But yeah, Fuddruckers, you gotta give Fuddruckers a go. I mean, the last time I was there, I went to one that was kind of it's like Fuddruckers, you do it yourself. Most of them, well, when I was a kid, and then the last few that I've been to, but then this one in Newport News, when I was visiting my aunt and uncle, we went out to one that was, it was like you have a server come to you and you order your shit like a traditional spot. But I don't know, I guess what would be the higher tier restaurants? I guess that's more like a Maggiano's. Like in Hackensack where I live, we have this restaurant park, and I forget they have a Houston's, they have a McCormick and Schmick's. I think it's still there. And then they have some Rosa Mexicana. And I think that's it, but that's more of an upscale mall where nobody, it's a weird thing about that mall because there's always cars there, but then there's no, when you actually go to the mall, there's actually nobody really in there. And they have those upscale stores like Bloomingdale's and all that stuff. I really just go there to get cologne and buy tickets to concerts and stuff when I don't want to. I think it's still the same thing. But even when I want to get, like, if I buy a ticket, I don't want them to mail it to me. I just want to get the hard copy of the ticket. You guys don't really care about that shit. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. I don't know how we got it, how I got into that, but I'm just going to press forward. What are we? We're almost 20 minutes in, you guys. Wow, I didn't know we've come so far already. So, guys, I made lasagna. And so I was talking about my childhood, how my mom only made it one time. And actually, my mom, for Christmas, she made a layer cake, like a lemon cake with icing, like a lemon cake or whatever. And it was so fucking good. She never really baked when I was a kid either. And when I tasted this cake, I was like, Mom, this is kind of like reverse child abuse because you never really made cake when I was a kid. Maybe I can get her to make one for my birthday. But it was really good. I was impressed. My mom was never much of a baker. Like, not that she couldn't do it, but she just didn't do it. So my favorite thing that she made was spaghetti, and I have now surpassed her at making spaghetti. And so I think the next time I go home, I will have one. Because one time when I was like, "Yeah, I make spaghetti better than you," and they made me make it when I came home, and I killed it. So I'll probably have to make some lasagna for them one of the next times that I come home. So it's pretty cool. My thing was, I think I made too many. I had like this big, I bought this big $16 tray, like a big baking pan where you could bake shit in. What do you call that? What do you call it? Like a baking pan, lasagna tray. And it was like a ceramic thing, and I got it at Stop and Shop, and it's just really huge. So I made a shit ton of lasagna, and I had some for lunch today and a nice salad, and I still got some left, and I got a ton of that shit. But it turned out really good, I would say. And it's not hard. Like, you just, all you're doing, you're boiling some noodles. You're getting some ground beef and some sausage, Italian sausage. And you cook that together. You get some mushrooms. You chop it up and mix that in. And you can either make your sauce or buy your marinara sauce. And you just layer it. And once everything's cooked, you just layer it up, and you make your cheese filling. You get your ricotta cheese, you get some eggs, you get the Reggiano Parmesan. I mean, you do it, you guys. I mean, it's really good. I kind of doubted myself, but it ended up being really good. So I impressed myself, and I feel really proud of what I did as a fledgling chef, and I made it happen, you guys. So comedy, I had one show. I've got some dates. I'll give you some dates later on in the show. I did a show on Thursday called Fresh Out, and it's a really fun show at UCB East, hosted by Jim Tews and Ashley Brooke Roberts, some New York comics, and Shanoa Estrada booked me on the show, and it was really fun. I was working on a new bit, and I just had fun. I had a good time, and it's always good. I'm getting ready for some shows, a big show for me on the 17th of March. I think that's St. Patrick's Day. I don't know, but March 17th, I'm going to be in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, headlining at the two drink minimum, it's called two laugh minimum at Steel Stacks. And you can get your tickets for that if you live in the Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, Western New Jersey area. You get some tickets for that. It'll be fun. I'm doing like a half an hour, just doing a long set, and it'll be fun. So I'm getting ready for that, working on some new shit. So it'll be fun. That'll be good. And, yes, it was good to do that. Before that, I saw Daddy's Home, because that was on Thursday and The Revenant was playing at 7 and my show was at 9, and I didn't, I couldn't see the Revenant because I would have missed my show, and I'm not gonna just miss a spot because I wanted to see Leo in a movie. Like, come on, I'm trying to follow my Leo's living his dream. I'm trying to live mine. So I mean, I know that he would understand that. So I went to see Daddy's Home, and that movie fit the time that I wanted to see it. And it's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Like, you know, it was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. There was the Hannibal Buress was in it. Bill Burr had a cameo towards the end, and it was fun. It was good seeing Bill Burr in that, and Hannibal was funny. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. It would be one of those movies that comes on, you'd be like, yeah, that shit was funny. Like, you would probably stop and watch it. When it comes out on Redbox, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's an enjoyable flick. I tried the new soda machine that AMC has, where you could mix your soda and stuff, and they have like all these different varieties. I don't know if I'm a fan of that. Normally I do the Smart Water or Dasani. And the Dasani, you get a bigger bottle. The Smart Water is like a 20-ouncer, but they cost the same. That's weird. I'll just try the soda, and I got, they had Mellow Yellow Grape. And when I tasted, when I sampled, I was like, oh, this is pretty good. And it wasn't. So maybe the next time I'll just try to get like a, if I get a soda the next time I go to the theater, I'll try something else or just get a water. I just hate when you spend money like that, because obviously there's a huge markup when you go to the movies, and the markup's just super huge, and you spend that money and it's whack. It's just like, oh, Jesus, you know? Richard Sherman almost blocked that kick. He almost blocked a kick. Or did he block a kick? I don't know. This is another game that I fell asleep on. It was boring. And then in the fourth quarter, Russell Wilson started balling out. That guy's just a flat out winner, man. He just makes it happen. And I'm glad he won this week. If they lose, somebody is going to put, because Russell Wilson can sing, apparently, because there's a clip of him doing, it's not even karaoke. He's just singing along to, or he's singing, what's the Usher song? No, baby, tell me what you want to do. Nice and slow. He's singing Nice and Slow, and he's kind of killing it. I mean, he doesn't sound better than me. I mean, but you can't be like an amazing quarterback, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and a good singer. I mean, you can't get blessed in all those ways like that. I mean, you got to let somebody like me do something better than him, right? But he's, you know, so I was hoping like, oh man, if he loses, they're obviously going to have the Jordan sad face. I'll freak you right, I will. And he's singing, you know. So I saw Daddy's Home. This is just a very schizophrenic episode of the show. Yeah, man. So I'm glad they won. And Daddy's Home was good. Fun movie. Some people were kind of like, oh, why would you go see that? Like the homie JL put on a sad face because I saw that movie. Like, dude, see, this is the thing. Like, people, if you listen to this show and you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, I love movies. So I will watch pretty much anything. For the most part, I watch a lot. I watch the mainstream movies. I watch the indie movies. And I have a good time because I know what I'm watching. It's not like I go see Daddy's Home and I'm expecting to see Citizen Kane, you know? And I honestly, and Citizen Kane, I mean, I don't even remember if I've seen that, if I have, but you know what I mean? When I'm saying like like it's an epic movie, like I know I'm going to see a popcorn movie. Like I know when I go see Star Wars, I'm looking to see an exciting, fun popcorn movie. And the fact that people are dissecting it even more. Oh, you know, one of my coworkers, So when you get back to work, you come back to work after the holidays, people come in at different times of the week and they're like, oh, I saw this over the break. I saw that. I was talking Star Wars with a coworker, and he was trying to tell me about Finn's origin story. And I was like, actually, dude, it's actually this thing and not that. And I felt like I was giving him a TED talk on Finn's origin story. And then this dude, one of my coworkers, the only black guy in the department, the only other black guy in the department, comes up to me and says, oh man, Chris, I took my son to see Star Wars. And you know, man, I was thinking about you while I was watching the movie. I was like, oh, word? And he was like, yeah, man, you know, Finn, I thought he was cooning, man. He was cooning it up. I was like, really? I didn't think so, man. I didn't think Finn was cooning. So I took it to Facebook, man. I took this joint to Facebook, and I just said, one of my coworkers thought that Finn was cooning it up in Star Wars. I disagree. What do you think? I'll read you what some people say. One guy that I never met before, he says, I thought about it, but basically he was a slave. He behaved how a man running for his freedom would. He was thrust into being a hero. He was human. And I agreed with that. The homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips says, disagree. He was funny. JL says, low range actor or low range performance at least, but not doing anything shameful. JL's just a hater. Another guy says, Finn was funny. I think coonery would require him acting a damn fool, and a big part of the humor being, look at this wacky Negro. Finn wasn't that at all. He was just funny. And that's what I thought. And one guy says, oh, are they high? The homie Mark James Heath, comic out of Toronto, he says, I thought it was dope. We can't just let black actors act. I agree. Let's see what other people said. Homegirl says, what? No, he's one of the most likable actors I've ever seen. I think he has that everyman quality. A couple of the funnier lines he had were the delivered a little bigger, but still appropriate to the situation. Not like Def Jam comedy big. And then this nigga JL says, when he tap danced for Han Solo, that was getting a little uncomfortable though. And he got 15 likes out of that shit. It's hilarious. Oh my God. That was so fucking funny. And then some of my white friends, man, like they're like, I don't think they know how to take it. And they like, they'll say, one guy, not really sure what cooning it up constitutes. I thought it was badass and hilarious. I thought he looked exactly like what someone who's never had real friends or any say in his life would act like. His comedic timing was great, and I feel like that was what was sorely missed in the prequels. I mean, he had the most agency out of every character in the movie. He was always on the move, always trying to act on his knees. Everything he does on his own, even if he seems helpless and over his head at times. Yeah, I agree. That's mainly what he was like. The homie Josh Homer, he says, he was a damsel in distress. I agree with that. Did that make you feel, did that make you feel uncomfortable? There were some moments when I thought, come on, nigga, get it together. And I laughed at that. And one guy, Sterling from, Gaming and Then Some, was like, fuck that coworker. And then Randolph writes, I need to know what that coworker defines as cooning. And I just gave him the Urban Dictionary, review, and he said, then no. Randolph says, then no, he wasn't cooning. So this was funny, man. My cousin writes, he was playing a runaway space slave and only wanted to fight to save that sexy white girl. actor, Michael Flood. I compared his performance to Richard Pryor's in Superman 3, and he was by far no Richard Pryor. I don't remember that. Then John Moses, comedian, says there was some slapsticky type of moments, but he's English. That's the Mr. Bean school of comedy. Courtney Farrington, friend of the podcast. No such thing as coons a long time ago in a galaxy far away. Also, what's wrong with using the Will Smith comedy model to try to make black people feel as included as possible? So a lot of people, one of my homies from elementary and high school writes, it was a tad bit uncomfortable in a few parts, one being his renaming. I felt it was very Kunta Kinte / Toby-ish. One thing different was that he delighted in his new name given to him by Poe Dameron. Kunta didn't have too much of a choice. There was some deep attachment issues to Ray, and it was part of the character, but under racial constructs could be seen as cooning. Definitely like a truly loyal dog to its master. Damn! Courtney writes back, why couldn't it be that a lot of previous clones / stormtroopers have nicknames too? Plus an on-screen multicultural relationship in a popular movie is huge. Given just 2 years ago, Cheerios was shunned for a 30-second commercial with a mixed race family. And what I did was I posted this story from Polygon.com by Susanna Polo that said this. The title of it, it's called The Canonical Story Behind TR-8R, the Internet's New Favorite Stormtrooper. This is one of the stormtroopers in the First Order who says, traitor! And he has that baton that he fights with Finn the first time Finn uses the lightsaber, and it's basically this backstory. You should check the article out. It's a backstory that like actually shines a lot more light onto Finn's origin story, because there's a novel called Before the Force Awakens or some shit, but it's a kid's book, and it's in three parts. It tells you the story of Finn, Ray, and Poe Dameron. And it's actually, I didn't read it, but the excerpt or the explanation from this Polygon article is pretty informative, and it just shines a light and fleshes out a lot of the stuff where you would be thinking, man, that shitty, this nigga's a coon, and fuck that. Like, we always got to go back. Like, joking, I called him like Space Django or whatever just to be having fun with it, but I wasn't really offended by that shit. But I think black as viewers, as a black, as shit, as fans of cinema, fans of just anything, or just being black, I think everybody brings their own baggage to film or to whatever thing, whatever piece of art that we're experiencing. And I think that like our own shit, like our own bullshit, just kind of happens when we watch this stuff. Like, we kind of dealing with our own shit while we watching this guy, because we put ourselves in the place, because Finn is like, we put ourselves in his shoes. It's like, damn, this nigga's doing this, he's doing that. So I could definitely see why he had that. Like, I don't discount it, but I was like, damn, that's kind of going in on that. And my coworker, I'm not gonna name his name, but he said he was cooning, getting beat up, only manning up when Snowflake got kidnapped. He even tried to bail out on her, asking her if she had a boyfriend. Coon. Somebody writes, he stole a spaceship, in all caps. Jar Jar was cooning. That's what Rod said. Agreed. Yeah, man. Yeah, I liked it, man. I don't think Finn was cooning. I think he was just a fully fleshed out character. He had his shit with him. And I think you could see that. You could see him, like someone said, he was like always on the move, and he was trying to better himself. And I think he's sort of like the Han Solo character to a certain degree. If the more, I guess we got to find out more about Poe, but Han Solo was more like the roguish type guy that was, you know, trying to get over and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, so I think that's what was going on with that. But I think I might try to ask people a question. And what I'll do is, like, maybe every week try to ask people a question about something. and then get their response and then just talk about it on the pod. So I talked about Daddy's Home. We talked about Finn a little bit. And they are releasing, for you action figure nerds, they're releasing an FN2187 action figure. I think if I get that and I get like the die-cast Rey, die-cast Kylo Ren, and maybe a die-cast Captain Phasma, I'll be good with the action figures. I think I'll be good, and I don't think I'll, yeah. So I would love to do that when the money's right. When I get my money right, because I don't want to be spending all, okay, you guys don't care about that shit. What else? Let's do a Redbox recommendation, and then let's do this first. I'll talk a little bit about music. I will talk about, give you a Redbox recommendation, and we'll end it on Leo and the Revenant. How about that? So music, Kanye's got his song Real Friends is out. That he's starting to release music every Friday. The album's coming out on, I think, February 11th or the 16th. Sometime within the next month or so. His album Swish is coming out. That's kind of a weird title, unless we find out more when the album comes out, and maybe it'll have a meaning. So Real Friends song sounds good. I think it sounds like Kanye. It's a good song. I like it. Kanye, he rarely puts out bad shit. I mean, a lot of people are really super, super critical of him. I think they're more critical of Kendrick Lamar, actually, now. I think now that white people like Kendrick Lamar, I think more people are, he's gone under more scrutiny. I just think Kendrick's a dope rapper. He makes good music. I mean, I think he's kind of becoming more of himself, more of the artist that he's becoming. How do I want to say it? I think he's just evolving into the type of artist that he wants to become. I could definitely see the jazz influences in, you know, he had that in Section 80. The song where he's like, what's your life about? Enlighten me. Is you going to live? Blah, 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 blah. When he had the, at the end of Section 80. I don't have my iTunes open, and I should have, but I didn't know I was going to talk about Kendrick Lamar. But I think he's gone under a lot of scrutiny now that he's super popular, and he's got 11 Grammy nominations, and I hope that he wins a bunch of them. I just think, I got to go back and listen to Pimp a Butterfly again. It's a really dense album, and I know that I like it. I just haven't, like I told you maybe last week, that I just haven't been listening to a ton of new music, but I know when that came out, I was listening to it for a straight month or so, or just a really long time. But I've just been listening to more podcasts now. But I think it's a great album. I think you can't call that a sophomore slump. Can't really call that his second album. And I'm making air quotes as I'm saying that, because You had the Kendrick Lamar EP. He had some stuff where he was KDOT before that. You had Kendrick Lamar EP. You had Overly Dedicated, which was essentially an album because it's like 15 or 16 songs on there. So you had Section 80, which is an independent album. Then you had, you know, Good Kid, Mad City. So really, that's what is like his fourth, fifth album, if you will. I think he's great. Just because white people start liking him doesn't mean that you can't like him anymore. I think that's black people being hipsters. Because I remember I was talking to a comic, George Gordon, who I definitely need to get him on the show so we could just talk about music. That dude knows a lot about music, and I just ran into him while I was getting ready for the show at UCB East. He was doing Lasers in the Jungle. He just got done doing that, and I was doing Fresh Out. But I definitely want to have him on and talk to him about some music because he knows his shit. And he reminded me that I told him about Kendrick Lamar like 4 years ago. And that made me feel cool. So I was, you know, when somebody, oh, you told me. I was like, oh, really? Oh, yeah, you know, I kind of know a little bit. I kind of know a little bit of something. So that was pretty neat. But yeah, I was a fan of Kendrick, I think. And when I first heard him, I was like, okay, this guy's good. And then when I went back, like, I was just like, damn, this guy's really fucking good. And that was like 4 years ago. I was definitely listening to a lot more music than I was podcast. And so I just had like all kinds of shit going on. And so it's something I have to pay more attention to. So yeah, Kanye, looking forward to him coming out with an album. Definitely when he comes out with something, it's definitely, you can't deny that when Kendrick Lamar comes out with a project, it's become an event, much like Kanye's projects are. And I think that's what's exciting about music. And so when Swish comes out, you know, you're definitely going to have the think pieces and all this stuff come out. So yeah, that's cool. And then Alessia Cara, who I'm just beginning to like more and more every time I hear her do something. She's really good at these covers. She did a cover of Disclosure and Lorde's Magnets, which is a song on the Disclosure's album. And she kills it. It's just good. She did this thing on BBC Radio 1. And it's just a good cover, and she's dope. I definitely wouldn't mind seeing her live if and when she comes to New York again. I know I think she did a show at the Knitting Factory once, or maybe when she was like before her record here was like super hot. I think it's like she's like that song is platinum. Like double platinum, I think. I don't know, but she's killing it. And she's good. So I like Alessia Cara a lot. She's good. I was trying to see what her... If she had... My internet's kind of slow. She's going on tour. I don't know of any dates. Four Pink Walls. I thought I saw a post that she did on Facebook that was, I thought I saw a post on there which said that her song, yeah, okay, here is RIAA Certified Double Platinum. Yeah, so it's a good song. So that's music. Yeah, and I'm just vibing out to the Dornick, Jamie Woon, Phony People. What else am I vibing out to? Stuff that I was telling you about last week is just the stuff that I'm kind of just absorbing. I listening to Leanne LaHavis again, listening to her album Blood, which is good, and just that's really what I'm listening to right now. Because actually, when I was talking to Gordon, he kind of caught me off guard. I was like, "Oh, what am I listening to?" So yeah, I was. So that's some good stuff. So I'll give you a Redbox recommendation. I did not cue this up. What is wrong with me this week? Sleeping with Other People, starring Jason Sudeikis and Allison Brie. It's a movie that I wanted to see for quite some time. The movie came out in September. It was just in limited release, and I hadn't gotten around to see it. And I was tempted to pull the trigger on it to buy it on like PlayStation Network, but I didn't. And I was like, $15. What if I don't like it? You know, it's kind of one of those weird things. I was talking to some comics about that, just buying stuff on iTunes. And I know the homie Andrew Short was talking about, you know, just getting movies, you know, you put and they're right. Like you put $5 or $2, you can get this movie and you can have it digitally. I would more assume to have it on my PlayStation as opposed to Amazon Prime. Cause what if you don't, you're not on Amazon Prime anymore and you don't want the, and you know, you don't have that service, do you still, can you still keep the movie? Do you still have access? If it's on a digital file, like on my PlayStation, I feel more comfortable with having it there as opposed to Prime. But one of these days I'll buy something, but I like to have, it's, I just still like to have the physical copy of a movie. And the homie, I'll never forget it, and it's the funniest thing anybody's ever said to me. Damian Lemon said, he's like, you old media ass nigga. Like, I just like the tactile thing of, you know, just having the movie, having the disc, if you will. So one of these days I'm going to buy it. It's not a big deal. And if I do when I do this, it's just going to be some normal shit that everybody's done already. But it'll be new and fun for me. Like, it's going to be the shit for me. And I'll be like, oh, you guys, this thing is pretty cool. But I still think like the DVD will have, or Blu-ray will have, like extra shit, like commentary. Cause that's what I'm in for. I'm a collector and I like to have this stuff. So, Sleeping with Other People. 12 years after a one-night stand, a man, Jason Sudeikis, and a woman, Alison Brie, run into each other and try to maintain a platonic relationship despite their mutual attraction. And basically, you know how it's going to end. It's all about how they get there. That's what these romantic comedies are. And this movie does it. They do it well. Like, two likable actors, Alison Brie and Jason Sudeikis, they're both very likable and fun to watch. And I highly recommend it. Rotten Tomatoes gives it 63%. Metacritic 64%. And basically, you have to give up your suspension of disbelief to let you to have you think that Alison Brie is a side piece. So if you can get past the fact that Alison Brie will be a side piece, then you'll be okay. And it's funny, it's cute, it's dark. It's dark, and I like it. It's not like fake dark, but it's dark like a movie, sort of like a dark romantic comedy in the way that Celeste and Jesse Forever is dark. What's the movie that one of the best rom-coms, Something Borrowed, which is like, fuck, I can't believe this happened. Oh shit. It's kind of like that. So I really liked it. It's at Redbox. It's definitely one of those movies. If I can get this for like $10, if I see it in a year or two somewhere where it's kind of cheap, I'll be like, oh shit, I will definitely cop that and add it to the collection. All right, so let's get into The Revenant, young. Let's talk about Leo in The Revenant. I was really excited to see this, I think this is it for Leo. I think Leo will get the nom. I think he's going to get the nom. The Golden Globes are actually happening right now as I'm recording this. I don't know who's won or anything like that. I'm just taping it. I'm recording it basically for the before the speeches, like to see if the people that I want. I'm really just this year, like, there's no black actors in this shit. So what I'm doing is just rooting for Alison Brie and Room, and I'm rooting for Leo. So The Revenant, let me give you the blurb on this. I don't want to read the plot. I just want to read the here we go. Come on. See, I hate how this thing just tries to act all. Okay, here we go. The Revenant. While exploring the uncharted wilderness in 1823, legendary frontiersman Hugh Glass, Leonardo DiCaprio, sustains injuries from a brutal bear attack. When his hunting team leaves him for dead, Glass must utilize his survival skills to find a way back home to his beloved family. Grief-stricken and fueled by vengeance, Glass treks through the wintry terrain to track down John Fitzgerald, Tom Hardy, the former confidant who betrayed and abandoned him. This is directed by Alejandro González Iñárritu, and cinematography by the masterful Emmanuel Lubezki. This shit was good. It's super intense. It's brutal. It's beautiful to look at. It's one of these movies where it's just like, it's a spectacle. And that's why I went to watch this at the Dolby Cinema at AMC Prime. This was in the Garden State, at the Garden State Plaza, the mall near me. And this type of thing, cinematic experience is only in, let's see, how many locations? It's in 10 states in about 10, 11, 12, in 13 places in the United States right now. And it's just like this, it's like a low key, it's like fake IMAX with the sound on steroids. And they got the seats that lean back and the recline, and it's got dramatic imaging. Dramatic imaging. The action comes alive in a dramatically different image with spectacular brightness, deep darks, and vibrant color. Moving audio. You feel like you're inside of the story as sound flows all around you and with breathtaking realism to create a powerfully moving experience. Innovative seating to take comfort to the next level with our spacious, high-power reserve recliners that pulsate with action. And it's cool, man. It sounds really good. And this is the type of movie they wanted. $20 for non-matinee. I ended up paying like $12 because I saw it like at 11:50, and it was worth it. Like I could say, you know, spend $12 and see it regularly, but I guess movie theaters have to do stuff like this because people are bootlegging this shit. I had a coworker tell me, oh yeah, I saw that shit 2 weeks ago. It's like, now it's just now coming out. And I was like, oh shit. All right. So I was excited. I was okay. I'm going to see Leo, going to see this man go for this Oscar and shit in this state of the art theater, which is really just, like I said, IMAX on steroids, IMAX, fake IMAX with the sound on steroids. And I get there, and I'm saying, okay, I get there kind of early, maybe like 15 minutes before the movie, sit down. There's nobody sitting next to me. As soon as the lights go out, this little Asian guy comes and sits directly next to me. And it's so fucking annoying because there's other seats, but he just decides to sit right next to me. I fucking hate that. Maybe I'm an asshole, but I just felt like, dude, why are you doing this? Why are you sitting beside, like, ugh, come on, man. And then he's breathing loud. I don't know if he had breathing problems. And he wasn't a big guy. Like, I'm a fat guy. I'm a big dude. I don't breathe like, he was like, and over, like, you could hear the wilderness of the 19th century with shit with in surround sound. But I could still hear him like breathing really weird and shit. And then he was like checking his phone throughout the movie. And I wanted to look at him and say, hey, man, could you put your phone up? Like, could you respect Leo's performance? Like, could you just respect it? And he was just annoying, but I got over it. The movie was good, man. I think this is just it's just a good ass movie. Cinematography was amazing. Just the first, and I know this is too lofty, but I'm not saying it's better, but I'm just saying the first fight sequence for maybe like 10 or 15 minutes reminded me of Saving Private Ryan. And I know that might be a little blasphemous. I'm not saying it was better. It just kind of reminded me of like the shit that was going on and the way it was shot. And I guess that's like people are saying that's like a new trick to do, like to do what they did with what Iñárritu and Lubezki did with Birdman, like these one shot things. And they also did it in True Detective, you know, like you do a oneer and all this shit is going on and it's crazy. But I just thought the violence was really brutal and visceral. It was like a guy could be talking, it's like, oh, they're coming up, and then an arrow goes through his neck, like, and it's just like, fuck. And it's just like, my God, it was just, and then in that surround sound, it was just, it had this very epic quality, and it just had a quality of a popcorn movie, like almost like an indie movie, an art house movie elevated to a popcorn movie, in the way that the cinematography just, I don't know. How do I want to say it? I don't even know how I want to describe it. It was just a fun. It was just, it's just a very. It's a fascinating experience to watch that movie in a theater like that, or just to watch this thing unfold. Really, it was amazing. And I wasn't, you know, and this is coming from a guy who's not really a fan of period pieces. You know, I mean, you're not going to have that many black people. You're going to hear people call people niggers. Like Tom Hardy, I think he invented a new racial slur. Like he called the Native Americans tree niggers, and he said it twice. He shoehorned it in the second time. He was like, yo, we got to get these tree niggers. I was like, what tree niggers? And then he said it again. He's like, yeah, because these tree niggers is, I felt like they was like, somebody might have looked at him like, yo, dog, how many times you going to say tree niggers in this movie? And he only kept it down to two. But I thought that shit was funny. I thought the shit was funny. But yeah, it was just a really dope cinematic experience. So I wrote that, you know, I think it's time. Like it really, to me, it's time to give Leo the trophy. Now, a lot of people will say, you know, almost every time I praise someone's performance in a movie, if I single somebody out, someone always says, oh, well, this other guy was good too. Yeah, the other guy was good too. Tom Hardy was good in the movie. Everybody was good in the movie. Leo is on screen most of the time. He's pretty much in every shot of the movie, and it's his vehicle. He's the star. This is his vehicle to get the Oscar. I don't know if people understand this or not. But it is. That's just what it is. Is Tom Hardy good? Yeah, Tom Hardy's a great actor. You now have to put him in the category of great actors who've said nigger on screen. That's just what it is. Like Michael Fassbender, Paul Giamatti. I could go on and on, but I won't. He was dope. He was a really good villain. God, the dude was Bane. Okay, it's not like we don't know that this dude is a good actor, right? By now, we know that. I hope you do. If you're a fan of movies, you know, I hope that you know that. But yeah, like it's the same thing when I said, you know, I thought Sam Jackson was good in The Hateful Eight. I thought, you know, I think he put together an award-worthy performance in The Hateful Eight. And because Tarantino mainly does ensemble type films, you know, you may not see him get nominated. But then someone's like, oh, Walter Goggins was good. Yeah, he's good, man. But he kind of he's a good actor, but he kind of plays that Southern racist dude all the fucking time. Like, I mean, that's what he did for six seasons in Justified. Doesn't mean he's not a good actor, but I've seen him do that shit before. But you rarely see Samuel L. Jackson kind of carry the movie and kind of be a protagonist in a movie. Anyway, so there's been people that have said, you know, because Leo's getting all this buzz, people are saying that it's not an Oscar-worthy performance. If you give it to him, if he wins, okay, let's look at the competition. You got, let me see, let's do 2016 Golden Globes. And you see who's nominated for, Best Actor. All right, so I'm looking at the Golden Globes website, and Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture Drama. Besides Leo, you have Will Smith for Concussion, which is very good. And so you got Michael Fassbender and Steve Jobs, good. Eddie Redmayne and Danish Girl, and Bryan Cranston for Trumbo. Now, I feel like if this is who you have, let's say all these guys get nominated for an Oscar. Usually the Golden Globes are the precursor to who wins the Oscar. Out of all that I've seen, I have not seen Trumbo. I probably won't see it until it comes out on Blu-ray. I have not seen The Danish Girl. I've seen The Revenant, Steve Jobs, and I've seen Concussion. First of all, Steve Jobs came out early. This shit came out like summertime, I want to say. And well, Michael Fassbender's good in everything. It's just like, all right, dude. Yeah. His only real competition to me is Will Smith in Concussion. And I said when I saw Concussion, the only thing that's hurt Will Smith's performance is the fact that Benin Amalu, the guy who he's portraying, never fought a grizzly bear. And that would keep Will Smith from getting an Oscar. Leo's the front runner, and I don't know. I think if maybe you get backlash from the Oscars, you might see Will Smith. If Will Smith took it, I would be happy. Will Smith winning the Oscar this year would be like Russell Wilson winning the Super Bowl. Will Smith, would it be? I don't even know if that's not even a good analogy. Because Will Smith is one of my heroes. He's one of my childhood heroes. If he wins the Oscar that would be dope. And I think that he did. I think that he did a great job. People were hating on his accent. I was one of the haters, but it proved to me in that movie, I was like, I'm fucking with this, man. I'm fucking with Will Smith's performance in this shit. If he wins it, I would be happy. But I think it might be his year. If Leo wins, you could say, oh, you know, man, the homie Damian Lemon, he writes, you know, maybe for, he says, he's referring to Oscar, the Revenant being Oscar worthy. He says, maybe for cinematography, but Leo's performance isn't Oscar worthy. He was just doing his Wolf of Wall Street quaalude shuffle against various elements. If he's doing that, that quaalude shuffle in Wolf of Wall Street, that alone was Oscar worthy. Because I think, but, you know, Matthew McConaughey played a dude with AIDS in a movie. And AIDS, if you have AIDS in a movie and you have, like, homosexuality in a movie, which that movie had, what was the name of that movie that he did? Jesus Christ, Chris. But he won for that. I got this pulled up somewhere. Come on. Don't you do this to me. Oh my God. The 86th. Oh Jesus. He was in that movie where he was an asshole, then he got AIDS. Oh my God. Dallas Buyers Club. So that's what Matthew McConaughey won for, and he beat Leo that year. And there was no way Leo was going to beat this movie. He wasn't going to beat it. But I thought Wolf of Wall Street, we never saw Leo be silly like that before. Like, we never saw him like that real comedic. We never saw him with that comedic edge to him, you know. You always see him play the serious guy, and he did get nominated. Let's look at his Academy Award nominations. So he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor in 1994 for What's Eating Gilbert's Grape. 2005, he got nominated for The Aviator. 2007 for Blood Diamond. I vaguely remember that he got nominated for that. Wolf of Wall Street. So he got nominated four times. This Revenant will be the fourth. Two, three, four, fifth. Revenant will be the fifth nomination. I think this is his year. If he wins, it would be like Russell Crowe winning for the Gladiator. Is it The Gladiator or just Gladiator? I think it's just Gladiator. It'd be like him winning for Gladiator, but the year before, his performance, and to me, in The Insider, was much like more of a meteor role, you know, I would say. And hell, like Denzel winning for Training Day, even though he was great in Training Day, I mean, it was just like all these dignified roles that he's done in the past. You just kind of went in for your body of work at the time. Like, Denzel in Hurricane was obviously better than Kevin Spacey in American Beauty. But, hey, you know, that's just how it happens. And really with the Oscars, you don't always win for that year's performance. You might win for the performance you had two or three years ago, but they kind of had to give it to somebody else. So I just think Leo turns in a great performance. It's kind of like, it's like Castaway. It's just like Castaway. Basically, The Revenant is Castaway on ice. But there's more dialogue. And I think people, because there wasn't as much dialogue, they think, oh, you know, it's not Oscar worthy because he wasn't talking that much. Well, he was, you know, it's basically, if you can't really get behind this movie as just a vengeance movie, then I think that's where, and it did get a little Terrence Malick-y with the, you know, visions that he was having. But overall, I just think it was a really good cinematic experience. And I think it's time. I would say it's time for Leo to get this shit. Like, it really is time. And I don't know what's been holding him back. Is it the fact that he's, like, just this really good-looking guy? Is that what it is? Oh, Stallone won. Stallone won for Rocky, like I said. And to all the people that were saying he won for Creed. Like, all the people saying that, you know, Tom Hardy should get nominated. I told him that Stallone was going to win because it was that buzz, you know. Yeah. But, you know, Michael B. Jordan obviously doesn't get a nom. But you know what, man? It's going like Michael B. Jordan. Like, somebody said, oh, Michael B. Jordan should get nominated for Creed. Yeah, probably, but I think Michael B. Jordan is super young, and I think he's going to have his time. But he's just young, and it's just how it is, man. I really just think it's Leo's time, and it's just like I said. I don't know. I was reading Leo's wiki, and there's some reviewer that was talking about him and the Man in the Iron Mask. And it just said, like, oh, he looks androgynous to show that he has depth. Looks too, like they're saying, like, he looks too good. And I think some people are just off put by the fact that he's just a handsome dude. He can't help that. Most movie stars are good looking. I mean, That's just how it is. I mean, but you can't fault it. But he's still a good actor. He's one of the great American actors that we have of this generation, of his generation. I think he's one of the greats. So, I mean, I don't think, and then if he does win for Revenant, it's not like a horrible thing. I mean, as far as all of the technical things that he had to do for this role and the things that he went, that like that bear scene. Oh my God. If you just put yourself in that situation, like I just think about it, that was me, like fuck, I'd just be dead. Like, oh my God. Like I don't really want to spoil that scene, but obviously in the trailer, you know that, and when you read the description that I just read you or anything, you know that he gets mauled by this bear, and it's just like, and it wasn't like a quick thing. It was for about, correct me if I'm wrong, at least 5 minutes. And it was just, my God, that's just one hell of a scene. And you obviously, you know, and people were saying on my thread, oh, the bear should have won and yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. I don't know. People just don't want to give it up for Leo. And I think this is his year. I mean, like, I'm rooting for him. I don't think I just ever rooted this hard for a white man to win an award. I mean, damn it, it's against Will Smith. It's against one of my childhood heroes, man. I'm kind of conflicted. This is, you know what? This is a better analogy. This is how I would feel. I kind of feel the same way I feel about Cam Newton and Russell Wilson going at it next weekend, like Leo and Will Smith. Like, nobody, like I said last week, nobody's really, like they say Concussion didn't make a lot. It didn't make a lot of money. It doesn't mean that the movie wasn't good. And I listen to some of these people that don't know what they're talking about, even if they're sports people, even if they're like that just randomly talk about these movies. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like you don't, just because, and people said Focus was bad. I don't think Focus was bad. If that was George, I'm not even going to get into that shit anymore. I'm not going to get into it no more. So that's that, man. I think Leo should win. The Revenant is definitely worth seeing. And this is coming from a dude who is not much of a fan of period pieces. And shout out to Domhnall Gleeson, who's just in some of the best movies of 2015. Like, okay, so he was in Ex Machina. He was in Star Wars, The Force Awakens. He's in The Danish Girl. No, he's not in The Danish Girl. I wouldn't be surprised if he was in that shit too. He, what else was he in something else this year? Let me click on his name. He was in that movie Frank, but that was like, but this dude has been killing it, man. He's been killing it for quite some time. Frank was 2014. Yeah, man, that dude is good too. I like him. The more I see him and stuff, the more I like him. About Time is another good. I don't know if you can call that a romantic comedy, but it's definitely, that's definitely one that has any rom-com where somebody dies is good. Not they have, yeah, it's, that means it's like, yeah, he was in Brooklyn. Yeah, man, he was in Brooklyn. This dude was in Ex Machina, Brooklyn, Star Wars, and The Revenant. So this dude is a real deal. I mean, obviously he was in those Harry Potter movies. He was Bill Weasley. Anyway, all right. So I can give you some dates. How about I give you some dates where you could see me do comedy? This week I will be, at Lucy's Lounge in Pleasantville, New York on January 14th. January 25th, I'll be at Littlefield on Night Train with Wyatt Cenac at 8 o'clock p.m. Two shows on January 30th, one at Cantina Royale in Brooklyn, New York at 8 o'clock p.m., Gotham Comedy Club at 10:45 p.m. I'll give you a couple February dates. February 5th, I'll be at the Experiment Comedy Gallery in Brooklyn, New York at 8 p.m. February 6th, I'll be at Bistro B in Westport, Connecticut at 9 o'clock, opening for the great Joe Matarese. There's more dates at chrislambert.com. That's the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been a pleasure. I will talk to you next week. Peace.